you traveled from Tampa to Florida?
No, actually, I was teaching in Gainesville at the University of Florida. And then lately, I just came from, where was I? I'm traveling so much. Where were we? Yeah, we went to Princeton, New Jersey. And then we did a program just north of New York City, and then we came here.
Many days, right?
Yeah, just, I don't always travel, but lately I've been traveling.
Just
the
song?
Yeah. Place to place, that's very good. So how you came to know about us in Tampa, right?
Through Sister Shireen.
Yeah, Shireen. Actually, even before, Shireen somehow, we contacted, we came into contact by internet. And so we were talking, and then I happened to go to Gainesville to teach there, so then we got to meet each other.
Three of them. Four of them, yes.
I think yeah, they happened to be, they happened to come along for different parts of this trip. Daryl here is in charge of our center in Tallahassee, Florida. Mm-hmm. And Ollie is directing a program at the University of Florida in Gainesville. We have a campus ministry there. Mm-hmm. And Malati is from Germany, and she's actually sort of organizing my lectures and writings. Mm-hmm. And she's going to publish some anthologies. And also, is one of the leaders in Germany. So she's just visiting here.
And your idea for coming here was to do some writing, I think, right? Originally.
Well, actually, it was good. I came around, I was able to finally relax. It says, of course, peace, fellas. And sort of writing requires so much concentration. Because I published a lot of nonfiction translating Sanskrit shastras and things. And so, not any more creative writing, trying to reach a wider audience. Mm. Creative writing, novel, so it requires tremendous concentration. And so now that the semester's over in Florida and other things, it just takes a while to get into the mood and really get the work done. But I'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when there is silence or healthy spiritual atmosphere, the flow is more natural.
Yes, yes, it's very...
The main thing is the flow, because when it's the flow, then it just comes out, you know, whether we have to speak or to write. So different kind of reflections come and insights emerge, and that's what I find that, you know, I'm here, but also I live in New York, and I find...
New York City, yes. You need to meditate.
I'm in Long Island.
Long Island.
We have beautiful environment, but still... You know, it's different activities and all that. But when I come here, I find in the morning hours, especially, it's something you could just see what comes from deep within and insights. So it's completely different, very inspiring even for the self.
Oh, yeah. Because ultimately, my meditation is that Krishna is really the author of the book, and that I am the secretary. And so I'm trying to, it's really, I see the writing itself as a self-realization process, trying to advance my own relationship with God so that I can transparently receive that blessing of how to do the service properly.
Yeah, it's just being instrument.
Yes.
So that we are able to align our energy with God so that He can use us.
Yes.
As the instrument.
Krishna told Arjuna, Nimitta Matram Bhavasavya Sajan, just be the instrument.
Right. Because when there are feelings of being instrument, then you are active, but also you are very detached. Mm. You use a lot of balance. We have this retreat on leadership, and when leaders get so involved that they don't have time for themselves and they don't balance their own life properly. And if one cannot lead one's own life, then how can you lead anything, whether it's an organization or a family or something?
Very good point. Yeah.
So that's what I was sharing with them. I said, well, yeah, everything has to begin with the self. If I can connect myself properly, that much we can connect outside.
It would be very good advice for some of our leaders.
Well, they were mentioning to me when you came, and so it's good you are still here that we could meet.
Yeah, I'm happy I got a chance to meet you.
Our headquarters are actually in India, at Mount Abu. But your big temple is in Bombay.
We have a very large, actually we have two large temples now in Bombay, the one in Juhu.
Yeah, that I have seen.
And now in Chopati, they have a very dynamic program.
Where?
Chopati.
Oh, Chopati.
Yeah, Chopati. And,
I have seen one which is near Santa Cruz, because we have a center.
Yeah, yeah, Juhu. But actually it's, it's somewhat decentralized. We don't, I suppose there's advantages and disadvantages, creative chaos, but we don't really have one center. Like, for example, we have a huge project, almost like a city, in Mayapur, in West Bengal, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was from, and then also Vrindavan, a very large establishment, and in Delhi, and...
Yeah, there are temples on the world.
Yeah, major temples. So really... The truth is that we don't really have one center. We have a governing body.
Oh, you have governing. Because Virginia was the main temple, right?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Which still is.
Yeah, West Virginia is it's probably the main pilgrimage place for Hindus in America. They all know about it, and so they get huge numbers. But actually, it has no administrative... they're really only in charge of themselves.
So yeah, there was a time few years ago when it started. I heard a lot about it, but I went on.
They went through their troubles. It's unfortunately it's much better now, but it was one thing which I've noticed that, for example, ISKCON is actually 30 years younger, I believe, than your organization, because I think you started in 1936. Hmm. And so ISKCON began in 1966. And so it grew so quickly that inevitably there's growing pains inevitably. So, there you go. Well, it's interesting because inevitably, because I'm one of the senior leaders, you can see, in the International Governing Body. And so inevitably I was making comparisons. Just on many different levels, because it's like when there's two colors, you get the notion of color. If there's two notes, you get the notion of melody. And so by comparison, it just helps to understand, to see ourselves more, you could say, relatively in some ways, and to see what the differences are. And so Prabhupada emphasized, you could say, decentralization, which has advantages and disadvantages. I mean, it creates problems, and then it also has certain advantages. But it is, I think ISKCON is more decentralized.
But once there is governing body, at least there is some kind of centralized.
Oh know? Yeah, definitely. It's not anarchy, but it's somewhere in between.
I think when organizations grow, they have to create a structure more idealistically, but practically. So practically it does get this decentralized. But also, like, for us, our headquarters is at one place. But then we have regional headquarters.
Right,
we have national headquarters. And we have cities, you know. So this is how it is.
Yeah, we have zones. We have administrative zones. And so, under the governing body, excuse me, so, you know, just sort of typical geographic areas. Mm. And so there are people in charge of different regions of the world, and then together they form a body which has ultimate authority. So, I mean, it is organized in that sense. It's not really chaotic, or it's not anarchy, but it's but there isn't a central place. Although we go every year, we have an international meeting in Mayapur.
Yeah, one is admin, another is principals, and I feel what is more centralized is the principles and the teachings. And if the principles and teachings are understood,
yes,
and there is alignment between the members of the governing board,
then we have.
That's really the main thing, yes. I find that it's one of the most important aim of the any organization is to see that the teachings and the message stays pure and filtered in a proper way.
That is done. It's
that's most important.
Yes, that is. Although it's very interesting because, as you know, inevitably with any particular philosophy, there are like certain parameters. So people may disagree, but within certain boundaries, they're still the same philosophy. And then you cross a certain line, and people feel that now it's no longer the same philosophy. Mm-hmm. So we have very lively discussions. We have very lively that go on. And I suppose along typical lines, there are more liberal elements. Because the way I look at it, my own analysis is that that the two great responsibilities we have are to preserve and to adapt. We have to preserve what we've received, and at the same time we have to adapt to changing historical circumstances. So some people focus on preservation and more conservative, some people focus on adaptation and more liberal, and there should be a healthy balance between those, but finding that the perfect balance. Anyway, so I think it's a very healthy type of debate and discussion that goes on among us, but within boundaries.
There are always everything with the discipline is what it works. Whether we call it boundaries, it's a kind of discipline we all adopt to, and discipline always is good for directing the energy. That's the whole aim. Any setup, I find there's something important. Anyway, we are very happy. I know that we are connected many places. We do get different Swamis and different representatives from time to time.
Yeah, I saw on Ramna, which she gave me a newspaper. It was in Hindi, so I wasn't really about to read it, but it had a lot of nice pictures showing different people going to Mount Alvaro.
Yeah, religious conferences. Yeah. Some of the conferences.
Interfaith, and other things. But even otherwise in U.S. too, because I think there are many chapters or many people, so different conferences we always see and meet, and it's very good.
Yeah, it's very interesting for me. It's very, I feel it's a very valuable experience to get to know more about it. And, to observe. Yeah, many things are impressive. I'm extremely happy about things like, the organization of cleanliness. And it's very interesting, and the sincerity, of course, of the people. People are very sincere and very kind.
I think that's really the whole point, is that the divinity within has to be emerged, and the innate divinity which is in every human being is less expressed more and more. So kindness, compassion, honesty, this becomes very natural qualities, because that's our aim, is that even if there are teachings, unless people get connected to their own innate qualities and then God's qualities, then they will express that in relationships, in their work, in their... And that's the kind of world we want, where people can function from these innate qualities of love, peace, friendliness. And because otherwise there is so... Mind is conditioned of people with circumstances, situations. They don't know from where to operate, really. So if they find their own core self, if they find their own innate qualities, and of course connection with the Creator, then all the time they can turn towards in and then come out. So in and out becomes kind of same. So I think that's really a spirituality of any kind anywhere. Because one is, of course, there are traditional religions, but then there are many other paths which talks more on how to practically use that teachings in the form of lifestyle. And so that's what I find, my background is from Hindu religion, but you're still looking for some kind of, you don't just want to live by only worshipping and beliefs, but also want guidelines for the life. And I found that this organization was able to give a lot of clarity in principles and how to stay internally strong, stay connected with God. And then, as you know, that our systems are so, like in the mornings, everywhere I must be, but the meditation helps and regular studies help. But there's, especially for people, so much negative vibrations, the worries and situations, circumstances, they are consumed by that so much. And then when they are consumed by that, then clarity is lost.
Rojo, tamo, passion of ignorance.
You say even it's worse than that, it's tamo pradhan.
Yes, predominantly.
Tamo, but it has gone climax of tamo too. If it was little, tamo is still online. That's still dark time. But it's becoming darker and darker. On the other side, we know that when it's the darkest time, 12, that's where even dawn begins.
Yes.
So we are able to see that dawn. So we are awakening to that one and not responding to the what is happening at the end of the night. But because that juncture, the transition is not visible. It's only for New Year when people sleep, they say good morning after 12, but every night it's 12, we sleep, we forget that next moment day will begin, because it's so dark. So that's what happened to the people, they see so much, but internally then this awakening, the response is everywhere, people are really looking for some alternate way to live, change their lifestyle, a lot of seeking. Everywhere.
Yes. Yet Krishna says that in Ayatava Prajanati Savuki Vidhi Satviki, not understanding things clearly is Satviki Vidhi. And not to speak of. Actually, Tamasi Sarvartam Vipaditam, so everything backwards. It is a challenge, actually, Kali Yuga.
Kali Yuga is a challenge if you don't see that after Kali Yuga has to be Satya Yuga. So if we see this more as a transition, then it's up to us where we face, put our face, there Kali Yuga or Satya Yuga. Here, because we always look forward for Satya, so we want to create that Sato energy, even while being in Tamo. Because that's the beauty, little bit light in darkness is really something which is, attention goes. So I think that if that vision is there, that after Kali Yuga there has to be Satya.
Oh yeah, that will come. It's just like after the winter, the spring will come. So that's a fact, spring must come.
Seasons change and
it is, the challenging part is just, it's a healthy challenge. It's a creative challenge. Trying to come up with pure but innovative strategies, or to actually reach more people. And as we were discussing, nimitta matam, simply the instruments. So ultimately, we simply do our duty. But it's an inspiring challenge.
Yeah, but also like I remind myself, one is just to be instrument, other is keep improving the quality of the instrument. So it's easy for him to play that in a better voice and better everything. Very, very famous singers, if you see their bands and their orchestra, so they are also like, So what we do through our sadhana is to improve our quality as an instrument. So when there's nimit power, there is also saying that worthiness has to increase so that it's easy for God to share the message. So
very true. We have to be transparent. Yeah. It's the desire to reach people combined with the practices is itself a kind of sadhana to. Oh, sorry. Yeah, absolutely, it's absolutely true. It's what you're saying. As leaders, the leaders themselves have to. They say, "Doctor, heal myself." And the more we're pure, the more we're transparent, the more we become suitable instruments.
Yeah.
for God's will, that's certainly true. At the same time, just like Arjuna or Hanuman, they had a certain spirit to serve, and even Krishna himself, of course, participated in different adventures as Krishna, as Ram, and so on. And so, there's so many different ways in bhakti, as we know, because we're all cultivating this bhakti. The different ways, different moods, different, what they might say in India, bhava, different. Just like, for example, Sita loved Ram, and Hanuman loved Ram, and Lakshmana, but they all had their own way of loving him. And so, the adventure of it actually does, I find, very enlivening.
You are leaving me for
a while? Tomorrow morning after breakfast.
Where are you going from
here? Actually, I have a cousin and her husband who live in Woodstock, who just stopped their break. Whenever I'm doing a program in Manhattan, we have a center in, what do you call it, area, Lower East Side, near Greenwich Village. So we're doing a program there in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And then Monday I'm flying to Los Angeles. And you're going back to Florida? And then I'm going off to do a writing retreat. Mm-hmm. I feel that rationally it's, I have so many other responsibilities as well, so I have to balance it, but it's an attempt. I'm trying to do something which I feel has the greatest potential to help most people do the greatest good.
Mm-hmm. So I find that very enlightening. Yes, it's working, and it will work better and better. We always say what's happening is good, what will happen is better and better and better. Always.
Yeah, Chaitanya said Ananda Rudhi Vardhana. Ananda increases as we, God is infinite, so we grant forever our service.
You're asking about our scripture, right?
Oh, Shireen gave me that book, actually.
She did?
Yeah, she did. She very kindly gave me that book.
You can see all the knowledge which is given from very beginning was orally. So it was never kind of put together in a, so they have made the attempt from those oral scripts, you know, kind of restart.
Many traditions began in the Vedas, originally oral Buddha.
Yeah.
His teachings were written down until centuries after.
And this is still easy because it's 70 years ago, and there are some members who are from same time, so.
When was this published?
We did, actually, it's the team of us who worked on that, and publishers are here, but I think they printed in Hong Kong.
Last year.
But we did it.
Last year.
Last year we did it.
Yeah, beautiful book. You have good artists, and I noticed like the architecture.
Artist is from India, so we wanted to do something.
So, do you have like a department that, well, for design? Whether it's like little cards or buildings or books or...
Definitely means there is certain things we have like standardized, centralized, brand we call it. But there are other things we can just use locally according to culture. Uh-huh. And every, you know, like in US we have two people who will. There are set departments who will look into these things.
That's one thing I really appreciate about your organization, and that is that there seems to be a quality control. And so, of course, I've only been to Tampa and here, but it seems that there's a certain, in a positive sense, a certain uniformity.
Yeah, we try, because we don't want people to feel two things, that their creativity is not appreciated, and others not, we don't want control it, but also coordination in a way that the right image is created. It's easy for people to connect when there is right image. So wherever they go, whichever center you will go, you will find a similar kind of energy. And because our morning sessions, everything is same, you know, whatever we are listening, and so our alignment also works based on that. The teachings we get in the morning, so whole day we are reflecting on that, and with that awareness we are functioning. So that's that. But also, because people like connectedness, you know. But
yes.
But as every country here, in every country they have to have, you know, registration separately, differently. So there are a lot of entities there like that. But as I said, basically in our whole format, a lot of uniformity.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because I sort of pioneered our movement in many different countries, but I think that I think that we need to go a little more to the side of uniformity. I mean, as you said, you can go too far and then you stifle creativity, create something like a China. But we do need ours. It's again still a young movement, but I think that it would be. That's one thing I've appreciated. I mean, there's several things I appreciate very much. I'm always observing. I just like walking around, but I'm always observing it. So, it's interesting. You can go, I mean, we have a lot of creativity and all kinds of things going on. And in a sense, it's very expansive and there's a lot of growth. But at the same time, it's not at all a uniform experience. If you go to this place or that place, you can have almost wildly different experiences. And so, that's one thing I appreciated here, and as you said, you can go too far to one side or the other side, but we do need more, a little more uniformity.
Yeah, some kind of integration on this within an organization helps in some way. Plus, it doesn't duplicate any effort to like, when we do something, like if 10 people, 10 places are doing it, we create one design. The same day, same topic, so they can use a lot of resources this way. We don't have to do it again many things. And this is how the aim is to create a resource which can be commonly used.
Yeah, it's interesting because Prabhupada was, of course he wanted quality, but he also feared, I mean, centralization went too far. He was afraid of stifling individual enthusiasm and so on. But then again, I think you can go too far on the other side. Also, another thing, we've been discussing among ourselves, you know, we've been observing things and comparing notes and everything. And it's very interesting to see the difference between the male and the female energy. In the sense that when I, by spending time here, and even, of course, going to Tampa, I've been to Tampa several times, it made me aware more than I have been, you know, how masculine, in a sense, this cult is. And, you know, in some ways good, in some ways not so good.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, this is one of the organizations which is, the heads are all women. Even the founder was men. But he formed this small group of 8 girls and then made them as trustees. And he was a very wealthy person, but he, whatever he had, they formed a trust, and from that trust they started. And then many other families came, so they were a community of 300 people. For 14 years, they just did was meditation and community living, and then after that, in 1951, after partition of country, they all came, and centers got started in India. So I think it's it seemed like mother at home, you know. His home is always different when, you know.
Yeah, very much. I had a very good mother. And dynamic, and she definitely kept the family together. So I think that, when there's overemphasis of the masculine, I mean, it certainly has its role. And again, it's like everything else, it's balance. But overemphasis, then you, sometimes a real sense of family becomes replaced by a real sense of competition, or like, it's interesting. This has been, I feel that Krishna brought me here, ultimately, And yeah, it's been very educational for me.
And very different. One thing is that we don't have individual identities in the sense of, you know, status-wise or anything. Even we all play different roles of coordinating larger level. But it's not a person which is, you know, what is appreciated is qualities or principles or. But it's not a figurehead, you know. And which Founder Father from very beginning said, it has the teachings and the principles. So it's a little bit on that level of.
Prabhupada was also very much like that, because actually there were so many movements that came from India, or teachers, swamis, gurus. And Hare Krishna is known, but not Bhakti Vedanta Swami. I mean, of course, we know him very well, and there are people who know him, but in terms of the general image in the public, it's not known as the Prabhupada movement or the Bhakti Vedanta Swami. So he really put Krishna forward. He really, not himself. But inevitably, it takes time. It's just like, you know, it's like cognitive development. A child grows up, and so our movement is 6643 years old, and so I can see with time it gradually it definitely becoming more mature. We're getting older people. In the beginning it was all young people. Mm-hmm. It's all young. Imagine that. And all young men, my God.
Okay, they were started his spiritual life in 69, you said?
Yeah, 69.
Because the younger generation, you know, we find too that a lot of like 20s, 30s, they really want to be very spiritual, very, you know, before was like, at that age, nobody thinks of that, but especially at present. I was in Oxford, London last weekend, and I found that, you know, we had another kind of leadership retreat, and most of the leaders, we focus on young leaders, and they were like in early 30s, but in very deep inside, you know, in the sense of their development and equal to not what at 50 or 30.
It's true, but they're fortunate that they do have elders. I mean, they're very fortunate because in the proper association with proper guidance, yes, people that age can do wonderful things. And our movement, it grew so quickly that there was a time when there were no elders. I mean, Prabhupada was there, but otherwise there were no elders, that, you know, all young people. And that, anyway, so it'll gradually work.
No, it's important. And I think, like for us, those who are of 70 years, we have only few left. And we really value them and know their wisdom, their style, their.
But even the people of 50 or 60 or 40, I mean, anything. There was a time, when I was 25 years old, I was in charge of all of Latin America, and of course Prabhupada was there, but he hardly came there, and so there's just, people were very young, were given huge responsibility because there was no one else to do it. It was sort of like what they call in Sanskrit, apad dharma. It was just an emergency. It grew so quickly, and so someone had to do it. We were all very young. So from a sociological perspective, it's just I can see historically, it just takes time to work through. Yeah.
Every organization, I think, you know, we all begin somewhere, then we evolve with what is necessary. We adopt many, many things. That's what we want to say.
Yeah, sincerity, with sincerity, with devotion, knowledge will come. Krishna says that, Nadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Jina, that to those who are always devoted, I give intelligence. Matak Smriti Jnanam. So Jnana will come, the Buddhi will come, with bhakti, with devotion. So I'm confident, just have to be a little patient.
Continue.
I heard everyone here is very happy. You all were here, so
very happy.
We really appreciate.
You know, everyone's here has been very kind to us, and
that's their duty, not to make every guest comfortable, and especially special guests. They will do anything.
Yeah, they've been wonderful. Mm-hmm. I believe that's really been a pleasure to I couldn't do as much as I might have because I've just been so exhausted. For me, there's just a chance to rest.
No, it was good. I think this is the place where we can rest in many different ways. No, because you don't have to really, the vibrations and everything. The very deep rest which comes here. It's not just...
One can feel peacefully.
And very safe, very secure. And until now, we are very fortunate that we could leave things open and everything is, you know, even the town is kind of still very, very good.
Haines Falls.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about a lot of things. We generally, you know, of course, everything is simple. It's not anything valuable. But even otherwise, generally, in 10 years, we all had very good experience here. Otherwise, that becomes a lot of, like, if you have to take care of security, this, that. And, but it is so open. So people just drive, they just come and walk. And, but I think that if we create this feeling, then people's minds also work positive. Even they are about to think negative, it changes that energy. Well, it was a very big venture for us, but it came to us and we said, okay, let's do it. Because our principles are a little bit different, so to run a center on all that requires, just really what requires is dedication. More silence, more powers make it function. That's what we use.
That's not a fascinating thing I've observed here, because, of course, the emphasis on meditation and going inward, which we all have to do, of course. And yet I know that... ISKCON is, you could say, in some ways, is very extroverted in terms of kirtan and sankirtan and so on. And it's been very stimulating for me to think about these things and to think about, I mean, ultimately approaches that lead to the same God, but the emphasis on silence, the emphasis on meditation versus a very extroverted approach. Although we do have our japa, dhyan, japa meditation, which really is a very intimate, personal meditation. The Harinam japa.
But a lot of people want to start from there, but maybe those who have done a lot that, you know, like when I was very little, since then I just did was chanting or writing Hare Krishna, Om Namah Shivaya, hundreds, thousands, Nidhasaya Guru. So when soul is ready for something which is more inner, more quieter or something. So I think we all go through different steps in journey.
Although, so, it gets to an interesting point because it gets to the interesting philosophical point of the, you could say, Nitya Swarupa, like where are we ultimately going? And, of course, from our perspective of, let's say, Vaikuntha, or Krishna Loka and so on, from the Bhagavad perspective, that ultimately, that of course, as you also said, we come to the point of the inner and the outer is the same.
Original self.
Yeah, so personally, I don't know. I mean, I see myself as somewhat in the middle. Maybe I just, you know, flattering myself that I'm in the middle. But the soul, we see the soul as ultimately, eternally active. And Krishna Lila as Sanatana Lila, as eternal. And so in being active or chanting, that is actually not a preliminary stage, but of course it's preliminary, the consciousness is preliminary. But if chanting is done with Shuddha Prem, then it becomes a pure expression of the soul. Yeah. And the soul can be eternally active.
Yeah. That's, I think it's both. I feel there are a lot of people who would want to do that way. Maybe it's good for them to start there. I remember people used to go to Swami Sachidananda and say, we want to learn meditation. He said, no, first you need to do karma yoga. So we'll have farms.
Right.
Say, go and serve. Or do farming and put him into that. Then you can meditate. No, so it's a different phase. And I think, it's the balance.
Yeah. But again, it's interesting because meditation, of course, is a perennial aspect of the Vedic culture, and you find even great bhakti yogis are meditating, and then Shuka and Vyasa himself and so on. So meditation is really an eternal process. At the same time, karma yoga, of course, Krishna himself talks about the karma yoga as the preliminary stage that leads to bhakti. So karma yoga is there, but it gets into the notion of what is the eternal, original nature of the soul. And so if one feels that the soul is originally and ultimately active in Ishvara Sange, you know, in the company of God, Krishna, for us, Krishna is Parameshwar, then let's say kirtan becomes, again, not necessarily preliminary, but actually, I mean, this is typical of India, where everyone kind of reverses the hierarchies, but, you know, nothing could be more typically Indian. So from our point of view, silent meditation is a powerful method in the sense of becoming free of material noise in the mind. As Patanjali says, yoga, citta, vritti, nirodha, stopping it, literally the turning of the mind away from the truth. And that ultimately the purified soul, as a lover of God, can sing and dance, and that this is actually the nature of the soul itself. Of course, it may be done because of material impulses, but it can be the pure soul itself.
Because when there is inner joy and bliss, then your senses express it. One is chanting, but one is naturally also. It's not only mind dances and bliss, but then physically also.
The soul.
Yeah. We have also a lot of such cultural activities in a way. And dancing is one of that. You haven't seen that part, but that's not.
No, I didn't have the pleasure of seeing a VK dance.
Yeah, there are, you know. Every retreat ends really generally for people also into some kind of cultural expression. Oh. And whether it's music, whether it's dancing, or, you know, because people come here and they are very seriously studying.
I'm surprised they don't have it. Usually the Spanish people always have it ready
tonight. I think it could to wo khilana chahiye na koi ek bharat ki wo toli
madhuban ki khilane the usne
So how long are you going to be staying here?
Actually we have something for whole week. This was Spanish countries people came, but then we have what we call a regional teachers meet, which we do annually. So in this region, we are coordinating office here in New York. So we are in about 32 countries in this region, so they all come, a few teachers from each country. So we then, what we are doing for whole year spiritually, also nurturing ourselves. So
it's a chance, as you said, for the teachers to focus on their own spirituality. Yeah.
And also admin and also future projects. We divide it into three levels. Like in the morning, few hours we will spend basically deepening our understanding, sharing, going in insights. Then some morning sessions we do for admin, like how really we supporting all things, how do we support and new countries, and then what are our plans for this year? So, something we need to do together, or how do we do it? So this is all. So we meet once in Mount Abu, and once here.
Every year? Mm-hmm. Oh, so all people will go to Mount Abu.
All people, because mostly they will go. You know, but of course all teachers go. But even students.
And when you say teachers, is that like a formal title? Or?
No, when I say that those who run the center.
Oh. Are they called teachers?
Yeah, we call them teachers. Or sometimes we call them center coordinators. So they, 2 weeks they go to Mount Abu. And That's where really, because they are away from their field, which is very useful. But when you are in your own place, you have activity, you have telephones, you have your own. But when you are away for 2 weeks, and then you are thinking, and everything is different. So we try to organize whatever their needs are accordingly. Some courses, some bring some more seniors with them. And also look at, because when you run the organization, there are always situations, you have always different kinds of people, and so how to resolve, you know, because we might not have problem with ourselves, but when it comes to organizations, it's like, so we talk about it, that if people of different kinds, or whatever are issues, so if we are not at our own place, we can think more clearly.
True.
So these are two times we meet in Mount Abu, but also like many of us seniors, we have to travel in the region, but also internationally. So twice in month I will go to Mount Abu, and Sister Kala will go.
Twice a year.
Because it's the February, March is when all the people from the world will go.
Really? The same, we also have February, March.
Yeah, so it's good weather and it's the best time for Westerners to be there. So we all are there. Then people come, then we take their course and help them. And then in October, we go for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, depends what's happening. And then we have like countries meetings, like we last 2 weeks before, we had just all U.S. centers together to think through certain things. And now we have regional. So they're coming all tomorrow and then they will stay on until Sunday. Generally I come for weekend and then I go. But most of the regional work I do is from there.
New York?
Yeah. In Great Lakes, the main office, because that's where we run the office. Because once you come here, you want to do it in a different way. Even there is a lot of organizing here too. You have to make it function, all that. But that we do in few meetings. But a lot of other work goes on from there. There my mind works differently, like you can be more into. And here when we come, we really want to do it spiritual.
Very interesting. It's fascinating. It's a very good, logical way of doing things.
Yeah. And you know, we use technology a lot in the sense that, you know, whatever transmissions will happen, whatever happening in Mount Abu, we can watch at every center. We can connect with our heads of the institution once in a while through transmissions.
Yeah, video conferences.
Video conferences is a transmission webcasting,
right,
which is very common. Or for me, you know, I used to do every country, but now it's not possible. Let's keep increasing. And, you know, India's trip and other international trips will come out. So then we do it through webcasts, you know.
Yeah, I've done quite a bit of that.
So we try to use this technology a lot to communicate.
Oh yeah.
Globally.
Yeah, we call it yukta vairagya, detachment, but using things.
Yeah, because you're using it not, you're using it for service. So anything which is used for service.
Exactly. That's exactly what we say. Yes.
Yeah, it's not that you are dependent, you know. For me, when there was no email, I was happier. Because you get overloaded, you know, because it's easy for people to just...
Oh God, what a world. The world was very peaceful before cell phones.
So it's not that technology has made things easier, but also made things more busy, because, you know, telephone how long people will talk, but emails they can just... But it also helps us to function efficiently.
Oh yes. Yeah, yeah, Rupa, there was a great teacher, Rupa Goswami, about 500 years ago, this, how did he put it, that prapanchakatiya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunam chuvi parityagu vairagyam phalu katit. If someone is thinking, I just want my own liberation, and therefore that person rejects things that could have been used to serve God, He says that is filled with vairagya.
That's whatever found the final one of the concept he had, that he didn't give up anything. He just said, okay, let me use it, have it trust, let it be used, and let me be hermit, or just leave it.
It's exactly what we say, boy, that's that's pure Hare Krishna philosophy. Yes, that to use everything. What is that, how do we put it? Anasaktasya vishayad, not attached to things for your own pleasure. Yatharham upayunjata, engage them yatharham. Nirvanda Krishna samvande yukta vairagya.
That's the key.
Yeah, same thing.
See, when it comes to really, really teachings of any religion, if you really go into your wisdom part of it, you know, there is that essence in everything, you know, but then how it manifests and how do we use it into traditions, that's the only difference. That's, you know, this God consciousness, or in whatever image, whatever form, is ultimately, you know, no one can, some people feel, some religion, that if you truly love, you have to punish people, some might say, no, you have to forgive people. But, so they express love in a different way.
Justice and mercy, the intention.
You had your dinner?
Oh yes, we are well fed.
Yes, dinner.
It's just simple food.
Oh, it's nice. I always eat simple things like that.
Yeah, because we don't have too many cooks this weekend, especially. Sometimes we have more than we try to make more things. As many people are.
No, we're not starving at all.
No, that way there is enough. But we could have done more hospitality then.
It was very good for me.